Belden, brother and sister, S.T. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, January 30th, 1905. Dear brother and sister Belden, we had a very pleasant journey from College View to Battle Creek. We were given a hearty welcome by the friends at Battle Creek. During my stay in the city, I spoke 5 times, 3 times in the tabernacle, and 2 times to the patients and helpers in the sanitarium. I had a message to bear, and the Spirit of the Lord seemed to impress those present. I know that God gave me strength to speak. On Sabbath, there were about 3,000 people present in the tabernacle, and on Sunday, about 2,500. The meeting on Sunday afternoon was attended by many of the citizens of Battle Creek. They paid the best of attention. At this meeting, I had opportunity to state decidedly that my views have not changed. The blessing of the Lord rested upon many of those who heard the words spoken. I said, "You may be anxious to know what Mrs. White believes. You have heard her speak many times. She has spoken to you in the park close to the tabernacle more than once. She has spoken in the large tent and at the camp meetings held in the suburbs of Battle Creek. The message that she bears today is the same that she bore then. She has the same service to do for the Master that she had when she addressed the people of Battle Creek years ago. She receives lessons from the same instructor. The directions given her are, write the messages that I give you, that the people may have them. These messages have been written as God has given them to me. I have written many books, all of which will stand the test of investigation. Of myself, I could not have brought out these books, but the Lord has given me the help of His Holy Spirit. These books contain the instruction which for nearly half a century God has been giving me. They contain light from heaven and will bear the test of investigation. The truth that we proclaim today is the same truth that we have proclaimed for the last 50 years. We can say, as John says in his first epistle, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:1-5. I wanted to remain in Battle Creek for another week, but Sister Marion Davis was very sick, and we feared that she might die before we reached home. She was very anxious to see us, and we decided to hasten home. Our folks at home were very much relieved by our return. We found Sister Davis very sick. She was at the sanitarium, receiving the best of care, and her sister, Mrs. Kellogg, was with her. About a week after our return, she rallied, and for a while we hoped for her recovery. But her strength suddenly failed, and on Tuesday, October 25th, she passed away. On leaving Battle Creek, we bought our tickets through to Los Angeles, and these tickets allowed us to spend a month at St. Helena. We had been at home for 3 weeks, and the physicians thought that Sister Davis might linger for some time, so we decided to go south, planning to leave home on Monday. But something prevented us, and we decided to wait till the next day. On Tuesday morning, a telephone message came from the sanitarium that Marion had been unconscious since 7 o'clock. She remained thus until 4 that afternoon, when she quietly breathed her last. A beautiful spot in the St. Helena Cemetery was chosen for her grave, and the dear, helpful worker rests in her narrow bed until Jesus comes. no more trouble will come to her. At 77, I am still toiling, but am not worth much at present, for I am very tired. We are all in the hands of the Lord. I trust in Him, for I know that He will never leave nor forsake those who put their trust in Him. I have committed myself to His keeping. Friday morning, October 28th, we left St. Helena for Southern California. We had been at home less than 3 weeks, and the work of completing unfinished books was urgent. But there were two new sanitariums in Southern California in which I was deeply interested, and I hoped to be able to help our brethren who had the burden of the work in arranging for the opening and successful operation of these two sanitariums.
We spent the Sabbath at Fresno. I spoke to the church there on Sabbath afternoon. The large meeting house was well filled, and the Lord helped me to bear my testimony. Here we met Dr. Hare from Washington, D.C., who had been called back to his old home by the sickness of his mother. He told us of the advancement of the work at Tacoma Park and of the excellent place secured for treatment rooms in the city of Washington. We intended to go on to Los Angeles Saturday night, but we were unable to secure accommodations on the train, so we stayed over, and on Sunday went to the Hanford-Lemoore district, intending to spend the day visiting old friends. On our arrival there, we found a missionary convention in progress, and the brethren asked us to stay with them for a few days. This we consented to do, and I spoke each afternoon while I was there, twice in Hanford, once in Lemoore, and once in Armona. After spending 4 busy days at Hanford, we resumed our journey south and reached Los Angeles Thursday, November 3rd. At the restaurant on 3rd Street, we were welcomed by Elder Burden and Dr. Simpson. Elder Simpson had been holding tent meetings in the heart of the city during a large part of the summer, and the large tent was used by the church for their Sabbath meetings. Letters were sent to our people in the neighboring churches, suggesting a general meeting Sabbath and Sunday. In response to this, 200 or 300 came in from surrounding towns, and these, with the believers in Los Angeles, filled the large tent Sabbath morning. The Lord helped me to speak to this congregation of over 1,000 souls, all of whom seemed much interested. At the close of my discourse, the collection for our work among the colored people of the southern states was taken up, amounting to $75. We rejoice that the work is moving forward in Los Angeles. The interest aroused by the meetings that Brother Simpson has been holding is remarkable. Night after night, the large tent, holding 2,000 people, has been crowded. As a result of these meetings, a large number have taken their stand for the truth. Brother Simpson presents the truth as it was presented in past years, illustrating his remarks by means of many charts. He explains the prophecies very clearly, showing plainly that the end of all things is at hand. The Lord certainly works with him, and I wish that there were hundreds of workers such as he in the field, proclaiming the last message of warning with the same earnestness and enthusiasm. Special light has been given me regarding the character and magnitude of the work to be done in Los Angeles. Several times, messages have been given regarding the duty that rests upon us of proclaiming the third angel's message with power in that city. Earnest efforts must be made to lead men and women to place themselves on the Savior's side. In this work, there is need of divine help and untiring vigilance. No one is to sleep at his post of duty. Every capability is to be put to use to win for Christ a victory against the powers of darkness. The voice of duty is the voice of God. The gospel demands from Christians unreserved consecration of soul and body. The Lord claims the highest service that human beings, aided by divine grace, can offer. Each one is to stand at his post of duty in the great enterprise of saving souls. Those who present the truth are to enter into no controversy. They are to speak the gospel with such faith and earnestness that an interest in present truth will be awakened. By the words they speak, the prayers they offer, the influence they exert, they are to sow seed that will bear fruit to the glory of God. There is to be no wavering. The trumpet is to give a certain sound. The attention of the people is to be called to the third angel's message. Let not God's servants act like men walking in their sleep, but like men preparing for the coming of Christ.